just a couple of verses in Ephesians 5. Let me say, this passage of Scripture, is speaking to a person that is filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the life of the Christian that has the Holy Ghost of God inside him, which all do. Watchman Nee, I don't know if you recognize that name. He wrote a number of books. And one of his popular books was The Normal Christian Life. It was quite a success. Well, this that I'm going to preach on this morning, I'd like to address it as the normal or the common Christian life, the way it ought to be. I know there's people in here, no doubt, that do not know the Lord as their Savior. I don't say that condemning or cruel in any way, harsh. Trying to point you out, I just know you're here. And I know this message is aimed at Christians, what they ought to be, how they ought to live, and why they should be people that are thankful and show it. And what I'm saying is, the person that's not saved also has something to be thankful for. To think that you're still alive, that God still cares about you, God still loves your soul, and he doesn't desire to see you miss heaven. That's not in him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no desire to destroy a person in hellfire. He'd rather see him born again into the family of God. The fact that Jesus still loves you, you can say thanks. The fact that the Holy Spirit of God, at times when you've heard preaching, the Bible, somebody has preached the Word of God on salvation, and you felt what we call Holy Ghost conviction. He's moving on your life, and you knew that really you should turn your life to Christ. That very fact that the Holy Spirit of God is still striving with you, to think he'd still call you and invite you, even though you've said no to him at times, and yet he's still impressing your mind sometimes through the day or some particular incident, or maybe you've laid your head on your pillow and you've considered your ways. And the reality, you're not going to always be here. And the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is still striving with you, you have much to be thankful for. He doesn't visit everybody all the time. The Bible speaks about a day of visitation. Don't take that lightly. The Bible speaks of answering the Lord. Isaiah, I believe it's 59, he says, while he may be found. And so, the opportunity to be saved, to have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, is something you can be thankful for. Something you still comprehend and you understand that truth, what salvation is, that's wonderful. Somebody sowed some seed. Maybe somebody that close to you, a loved one, somebody's, look at me and listen to me. If somebody's praying for you, that's how I got in. I'm not proud of it. I was wicked as a sinner. But I had a praying dad that wouldn't stop. I've seen him pray over a chair with tear puddles on the other side of the chair for me. I was in the military. He'd write letters to me, tell me he loved me, send me tracts. When I got out of the military, Dad would still pray for me. As an over-the-road truck driver, and I just couldn't get away from it. Not away from his prayers or the answer to his prayers, that the Holy Ghost of God would deal with me as I'd travel down the highway. What a wonder. The kids used to sing a song. Years ago, we had a number of groups, different groups that sang. And I remember they used to sing the song, somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind. So though I'm going to deal with the saved today, the saints of God, can I say to you, if you're here and you're not saved, somebody's praying for you. Holy Ghost talks to you sometimes. The fact that you're still alive and have a chance, you have much to be thankful for. As I said, this is dealing with the Christian life, the Christian having been filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves in their lives. And it's telling what you ought to be able to see in them. What should be the norm? What should be the common thing about their life? How can you judge a Christian? H is dealing with it. And this is something that is evidence that the Spirit of God is in their life. That's not a strange doctrine. It's not a new doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine that every person that claims the name of Christ departs from iniquity, and every one of them has the presence of the Holy Ghost of God in them. If a person is born again, he has the Spirit of God on the inside. I remember old preachers used to preach that your body and your mind is like a house. And that's what it's called at times in the Bible. It's called a house. And when the Spirit of God moves in at salvation, he gets in, but he doesn't get all of you. When he moves inside, you're a new Christian. There's a lot of things you don't know about Christianity. The Bible is strange to you in a way. You know some things. You know what the Bible says about salvation. But there's a lot of room for growth, for maturity, to putting off that old lifestyle and putting on the new lifestyle after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he moves in, you might say he's in the foyer. He's just inside the door. He really doesn't have full control of you. And as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes over more and more rooms in your life, in your mind, in your spirit, in your mannerism, and in your heart. He begins to exercise more control. And this filling of the Holy Spirit of God, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That's a picture of when he has total control. When he has the reins of your life, the will of your life submitted to him, when he has the say, and you walk in the Spirit. You literally live your life walking in the Spirit. He's in control. He speaks to your mind, now maybe not audibly, but he impresses his mind. You know it's him. It's evident and clear to you. I get so tired of people saying, well, God don't talk to you. Well, I know he does. In fact, a lot of the songs picture it. There's a chorus, I just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know. My sins are all forgiven. He's washed me white as snow. The load I once carried, he took away somehow. And I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. You have a witness, the Bible says, on the inside. You have the evidence of the Holy Spirit of God moving in, and that's what this picture is, the effects it'll have upon your life. You'll be a person that will manifest these particular characteristics in your life. Now, when I deal with singing, don't excuse yourself. Just because you're not in the choir, just because everybody else told you you can't sing. Now, don't ever let it intimidate you. Don't ever let anybody think that you, just because you're not a soloist. I was going to deal with Nehemiah, and where he had one man there that was Asaph's son, and he was the principal of the Thanksgiving worship. And what it really meant was, what it's saying is, he was the lead singer, and he was in charge of the worship of Thanksgiving. God says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we deal with this singing. It's such an important part of your Christian life. It is evidence. It is evidence of the Holy Ghost of God being in you as you have a song. I have two passages of scripture. I don't know. I probably won't get to them. But it says you're going through trials and stuff, and God will give you a song in the night. Man, if one of you laid your head down and at night and just troubled, you're facing something that just looks like you're not going to get through it. It's so troubling in your life. And the Holy Ghost of God will come alongside you, and he'll give you a song in the night. Did you ever wake up singing? Or you're there in troubled mind and just a song begins to come to your mind? And you begin to sing that song, and it quiets your spirit down. It encourages you. It lifts that burden, that load that you're carrying. Boy, we pick up a bunch of things we need not worry over, fret over, things we... I'm no different. I have the problem of when something's going to happen or I got to do something. All of a sudden, I'll see all the things bad that's going to happen to me. All the troubles I'm going to run into before I ever get there. Before I even start. I remember one day I was having problems with the vehicle. Had some flat tires, different things. I was going to work. And I was fretting and I was trying to, man, I thought I'd lose my job, blah, blah, blah. Finally got to the job and everything was all right. Me and the foreman we had a break. And it was just as clear the Holy Spirit of God impressed my mind. Are you all right now? I mean, you settled down, you're okay. Are you done with it? You're through with it? All this worrying? Everything's worked out. And he goes before us. He prepares our way. He leads us. I heard Dennis quote this a lot. And he does. God does lead us in paths of righteousness. And certainly he gives us grace to press on. Notice in this verse, I haven't read my verse, have I? Verse number 19 of Ephesians 5. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Next two words. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. And the following word says, always. I believe the Bible paints the picture here real clear that God wants you to have a spirit that you can rejoice in the Lord regardless of what you face. Says all things here. And we're going to face some things through life. We're going to face some heartaches. We're going to face some trials. We're going to face some loneliness. We're going to face some things we never dreamed we'd have to face. When I sat in the room with my wife, a doctor with a hateful spirit looked at her. And he says, you know, you only got 6 more months.
Oh, man.
I'd go home, and I still do it. But I wouldn't argue with God. But I'd inform him what my side of the picture was. I mean, I make it clear, I can't live that way alone. There's no way I can make it alone. You give her to me. You give me a prudent wife from the Lord. You give her to me. And I need her. We've developed this relationship over 60 years. 60 years, the knot gets tied tighter and tighter and tighter if it's spiritual. And I just lean on her. I'm not one. I never have been. Before I got old, I never was a person. Remember a person's name. I don't know. I just wasn't less than good or what. I just never, always had a problem with that. My wife and I would meet somebody. I'd be talking away. I knew them. I'd know their name. When I had an opportunity, who am I talking to? Honestly, I have wept and cried before the Lord. I says, I can't lose her. I cannot live without her. Please, let us live together to take us both home. This has been going on for over 3 years. A number of times. I remember when we walked in the room and the doctor said to us, Danny was there, Darlene. Walked in the room and he says, doctor looked at my wife, says, Mrs. Owen, this is his very words, you have a lot of cancer. It's in most of your body. He says, you are class 4. He said, I'm going to treat it as class 3, but you are class 4. I sat in a room when a social worker walked in, one of the most hateful spirits I've ever seen in a person. My wife's in an intensive care unit, just had a heart attack. That woman walks in. She says, well, now you've had a heart attack. You know you got ovarian cancer. What are you doing now? You know you're done. There's no healing for you. You see, how do you give thanks? You got a God in heaven that you know cares and watches over you. And God's been good to us. That's been 3 years of that we've gone through. And they told her the last few weeks, said it appears the cancers have stopped growing. Pays to serve the Lord. It pays to trust Him. It pays to speak honestly with Him. Pays to believe Him. As I read about Noah, he's in the middle of the belly of the whale. And what is he having? A thanksgiving. The Bible tells us here, notice what it says, giving thanks always. It's a fixed, permanent part of the Christian life to be thankful. I don't care what you're facing. That doesn't mean you're rejoicing over it. Doesn't mean you're happy over what you're going through. But if nothing else, you're thankful. You know there's a God in heaven that loves you, cares for you. You can lean on Him. You can trust Him. You know He cares. You know He cares. You know He answers prayer. Believe me, I can say to you, I can owe miracle after miracle after miracle. Even in this ministry, many of them. And somebody never convinced me that God don't hear and answer prayers. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm serving a God that watches over us. And it's just not words and paper. I know He loves us with an everlasting love. I know it's not something that's going to stop tomorrow. Believe me, you have to battle that sometimes. You start thinking in the norm of the natural man. And you know yourself, you know people that's loved you and now they hate you. You know that. But the agape love of God, that love of God isn't that way. It isn't on and off. It isn't turned off every time you do a little something bad or wrong. There's too many verses that tell me I'll go with you all the way to the end. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You believe that? You believe that? If you get that down deep in your heart, you got a lot of rejoicing you could do. Thankful I belong. I'm one of His children. And I know He just keeps on loving me. And He don't stop. I don't turn Him off. His mercy endureth forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying to you that You've got so many things to be thankful for, you Christians. My soul. If you would just acknowledge, if you would just acknowledge Him in all your ways, if you just recognize how He watches over you, little things, big things. In a Christian's life, there's no such a thing as happenstance, luck. No such a thing. We walk in the light. We are guided by the Holy Ghost of God. We're led by Him. We walk in the Spirit. And so a Christian isn't trying to feel his way through and find out. He's got somebody that guides him into all truth. He's got a guide. He's got a friend. He's got a comforter. He's got somebody that's inside, indwelling within him, that helps him to make decisions, that prepares his way before him. There's a lot of things that happen daily to you. Daily. And I've thought about these. My. We'll give Mr. Happenstance. It just happened that way. Or we'll give Mr. Good Luck recognition. You went down the road and there was an accident happened just in front of you. Or the few minutes before you got there. It just happened. No. No. You went downtown, you was looking for a parking space. And all of a sudden, there's one. Perfect. Right where you need one. Just good luck. No. No. You had some problems and things facing and it all worked out. I think Dennis said something about it, how he got turned down and it's something he wanted to do. And a couple hours later, they called him and said, no, we'll recognize. We'll do it. Not happenstance. Not good luck. That's God. That's the way God works. I'll never forget that man telling us when we was in that original building over there. Over 40 years ago, he says, you are paying for the fire insurance. And we didn't have but a few people. We wouldn't get much money coming in that church. Little church just beginning. And I said, oh, how much does it cost? He says, $600. I said, we can't do that. I can't afford that. We can't pay that. I said, would you reconsider? He said, I'll give you 2 weeks. You're going to have to pay it. I prayed and prayed, and wife and I prayed and cried and prayed. I said, there's no way we can do this. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, knocked on the door of his house. I think he lived over in Crozet. And his wife come to the door. She ushered it into another room, a sitting room. I'm praying, oh, Lord, work on this man. Deal with his life. He walks in. He says, well, what do you got to say? I said, sir, I said, we don't own the building, and we weren't getting anything of it burnt down. I said, I just don't think it's fair for you to put that burden upon us. Just, we didn't have maybe 15, 20 people. And he looked at me, and I thought, oh, here we go. Oh, Lord, help him. He says, okay. Never asked me for a dime after that. Never had to pay a thing. Lord just worked it out. I'm saying to you, if you would watch, what is that song we sang? It's on Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Giving God the glory continually, daily, for everything. When you open your eyes in the morning, I can see. I can care for myself. I'm not dependent on somebody. I can walk. I can feed myself. I can take care of myself. You need a little visit to a nursing home. Maybe you stay there a few weeks or a month. Usually they want a month. They go by months. They won't let you in there for just short time. They want months. Just see what it's like when you can't take care of yourself. I'm talking about how thankful you should be that you're in America. How thankful you should be the home you're born in. So thankful that God just worked in your life and you're not here by accident. God has brought you to the house of God. What a wonder. What a wonder. I'm saying to you, in everything, in all things, you realize that God cares for you. God watches over you. God has answered your prayers. God has blessed your life. Something about this singing, that's what I'll deal with just for a moment. I'll close. Something about this singing. Do you ever notice how that a song will come to your head that you heard years ago? Don't look at me. They do. If you've got a head on there and it's still working, some things up inside are still working, and memory things are working. You remember songs. Some of them, they weren't good songs. Hello? It's just something about the, I'm a clear blue sky. Hear that? Tune will come to your head. And you'll start thinking about, in fact, some of the words or the tune will start coming to you. I was sitting there at the breakfast table this morning. And I was dealing with something about music and a song and all this stuff. And I said to my wife, you're not going to believe it. I said, you know the song that just came to my mind? I says, Nancy Sinatra sang it. These boots are made for walking. And I'm looking at a spiritual song and trying to be spiritual and hear this song. I said, no, why am I ever thinking about that song? The world's music. If you don't get nothing else, please listen to this. The world's music is designed to make them think along the line of sensual and earthly. It's to keep their mind on those things. Spiritual songs, hymns, and psalms are made to help control your mind and your spirit. Singing psalms and spiritual songs and hymns and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's what I said earlier. Don't let it intimidate you. Somebody say, well, you can't sing. If you're saved, you got to sing. You want to sing. And you want to sing to the Lord. And you know what he'd say if you'd listen? I don't care if you didn't carry the note right, you don't know music or nothing. You just let it rip. You know what if you'd listen to him real close, you sing a song to him out of your heart, out of your love for him, out of your adoration for him, and you just sing that old song, you know what the Lord's saying? I like that. Thank you. The Lord heard me and delivered me. The Bible talks about it. And certainly, people don't bring Christianity and the relationship with God and the walk of the Spirit into reality. To them, it's some kind of a fantasy or drama or something that's not reality. It is a reality that you can sense. If you knew your Bible, if you sensed the smile of God, if you sensed God turned his face towards you, thy face I seek. And certainly when you seek his face and you sing to him. We used to sing that song, I love him, and make it personal. And we wouldn't say him, we'd say, I love you because you first loved me. Do you think the angel looked over, and God looked over at Gabriel? That guy over there is out of tune. No. He'd look over Gabriel and say, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful if they would sing it that way? Just out of their heart. Not worried about what anybody thought. Not trying to impress other people. A song of the heart is not trying to repress people and trying to gain attention. It's just an adoration. It's a worship in the heart unto the Lord. Helps you to stay in track of just being thankful unto the Lord. Thankful for his goodness. Thankful that he didn't let you continue the life you was living. He got your attention. He let you know, I love you, and I want you to be my son or my daughter. Convicted you of sin, drew you to salvation, like Jonah's talking about, I read earlier, salvations of the Lord. We are blessed. God is good to us. And it's something you should never forget. It's something you never should quiet down about. You ought to develop a habitual, not a ritual, not a form, but a habitual, true worship of God out of your heart, always thanking him for everything. I hate to use myself as an example, but if you follow me around during the day at times, some little thing work out right or something happened, and I know God protect me or something, you know, the chainsaws can jump back and all that. I think I had one the other day jump back, and I just caught it in time. I told my wife, I said, that's the type of one that gets your face. But if you followed me around during the day, you'd see one of these. I might not word it, you might not hear it, but I'm, thanks. And that's all I say, thanks, thanks. Because I know he's protected me, I know he's provided for me, I know he's helped me. And I know he loves me. This is something the Bible talks about, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a normal Christian life. You get over in the book of 2 Timothy, and it talks about the apostasy. And you know what it says? One of the first things it says about people that's gone into apostasy, says they're unthankful. It bothers me. It bothers me to see people sit down before a meal. It wouldn't give God the time of day. I've been in foreign countries. I've been in India. I was in Bombay, India, when they said at that time there was over 25,000 orphan children walking the streets of Bombay. You need to be around them with their bellies swelled out. And if forbid to ever go out in public with a sandwich or something something you bought. They would ask you for a bite, something to eat, begging you to feed them. You got a home. You got heat for your home. You got food in your home. I'm looking at you. I know there's some maladies you have, some sickness, but for the most part, you're pretty good shape. Always thankful. Listen to me. Not just here. Not just saying, well, I'm thankful in my heart. Forget it. God wants you to express it. God wants you to tell Him. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray, but He still wants you to pray. He wants you to say the words. Let them come out of your heart. Let it mean something to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You've heard me say it here lately just over and over again. Can I say to you, that's what He desires. That's what He wants to see in your heart. If you really mean it, if you mean that you really know that He's caring for you, you have that confidence that He's the one that's provided for you. He's the one that's answered prayer. He's the one that's taken care of you. He's the one that's given you health. He's the one that's given you today. The psalmist had a prayer. He cried, Lord, make me to know my end, how frail I am. I'll just be around forever. You know, I ain't worried about dying. That day comes, you don't necessarily know when that day is coming. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'll do this tomorrow. No, you need to say, I'll do such and such today if the Lord wills. That's what James says. And He's willed that you give you this day. Give Him the glory. There's a song that was pretty popular around this time of day, year, around Thanksgiving. And in it, it said these words, how can I say thanks unto thee? There's a lot of ways that you can do that. A lot of ways that you can recognize and give Him the glory. You believe that's His word? You believe that's the only truth there is in this world, is this word? You believe this is the only book that can tell you how to get to heaven? You believe this is the only book that has an answer to every question of your mind? If you know the book, there's an answer. How can I say thanks? Bear your nose in this book. Read it, love it, believe it, quote it, memorize it. Love this book. It's the roadmap to heaven. It's like one boy told a professor that was mocking the Bible. He said, sir, the reason you don't like the Bible, he says, because you're reading a letter, a love letter that wasn't written to you. This is a love letter of God telling you how much He loves you. Certainly, if you want to show how much you love Him,
You want to show thanks to him. You attend his house. You bow your knees in prayer. And everything in your life, not easy. It's going to be some hard times. Thanks, Father, for your care for me. Maybe this hardship, this trial, is to straighten me out or get my attention, turn me from my waywardness and my coldness in heart. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Let me start this prayer right, Lord. Thy will be done. And mean that in my heart. Thanks for writing it. Shall we stand? You want to know the greatest song ever written? If you could sing this song to your heart, here's the greatest song ever written. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He really does. He really does. And my prayer is to you that you'll never get to a state that you're unthankful. But you'll let him know throughout the days, the remaining days of your life. Thanks. 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 Father, in Jesus' name, I bless your name, Lord, for helping us. Lord, for the people you've given us here this morning, I pray there be something in it would speak to their heart, call them closer to you, or call them to salvation, or awaken the saint of God to their cold, callous life. Going through life as though you owe them, instead of just thanking you for everything you've given them. Work in our hearts that we'd be a people that show that we love you because you first loved us. I pray bless the food back there we're going to partake of. I pray it would be, nourishment and help to each one. I pray the time of fellowship together would be good. And I pray the time they say in their heart and mind, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You are dismissed. You can tell them back there that we prayed already. Amen.